Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. And while we do so, I really don't like to correct anybody in public. But I have to correct my brother Gary, who said that every day is Mother's Day. That's not true. Every day is Mother's Day except Father's Day. Proverbs chapter 31. I thoroughly enjoyed the interview with those four mothers. And again, I think that the interviewer did a good job, except she did not ask one question. Which I would have asked if I were in her chair. And this is a question. I'm asking four mothers. Just the four mothers were up here, first of all. What did Adam and Eve do after they left the garden? Any of the mothers, four mothers, want to put up your hand and answer? What did Adam and Eve do after they left the garden? Okay. No, it's thrown out to others. Anybody, what did Adam and Eve do when they left the garden?
They said they multiplied.
No, that's not the answer. They raised Cain. No, if you're living in a perfect environment and you were thrown out, wouldn't you have raised Cain too? Proverbs chapter 31, just one verse, verse 10 to begin with, and I'm reading from the King James Version. Just the King James Version for this initial verse. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the presence of your Spirit amongst us and for the way he has been leading thus far. We are particularly grateful for our mothers, for the gift of motherhood and womanhood. And we celebrate their presence amongst us. And we pray, O God, that you may help them to sense your presence in a very special way. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. And cause, Lord, that they will do exploits for you as they continue the important task of the caregiver. Thank you very much for being so good to us, Heavenly Father. Thanks especially for your beloved Son. We join the Apostle Paul in saying, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. Help us to love this Son with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the one in whose name we worship and pray. Amen. I think we all know that in the history of humankind, there are only three persons who could not have sent a Mother's Day card. That's Adam and Eve and Joshua, the son of Nun. We also know that there were only two people in the history of the world that were without mothers-in-law. That's Adam and Eve as well. Come to think of it, Adam and Eve had no childhood. They had no birth certificates, not even navels. Because they were created, they were not born. Unlike Eve, that first mother, I have a mother-in-law. She's in Jamaica, and she's a great mother-in-law. But I must confess, and she knows it, that I much prefer my wife's mother-in-law to mine. And there's a sense in which what I'm sharing today is about my wife's mother-in-law. My wife's mother-in-law is a very important person. She's a VIP. Before us in Proverbs chapter 31 from verse 10 to the end of the chapter, we have not only a model mother, but a model woman. And I tell you something, very many Christian women find this woman intimidating. Even some of us men find her intimidating because it's cast in biblical poetry. And much of biblical poetry is hyperbolic, that is exaggeration for effect. In fact, mothers are good at using hyperboles. I've told you a million times not to exaggerate. It's a legitimate way of talking, of writing. And once you recognize that hyperbole or exaggeration for effect is being used, then you ought not to be intimidated. Because there's one verse here that says that this woman, she goes to bed 4 o'clock every morning and she's up at 5. And as a man, as a husband, I said, I don't want a woman like that. What time she has for a husband? So I become a bit intimidated by this woman. This woman, according to the text, verses 10 and 12, is a mother who is virtuous. She is virtuous. That's why I read King James to begin with. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? This mother is virtuous. And here I believe the Holy Spirit is drawing attention to the strength of her commitment to her family. The strength of her commitment to family. Verse 10 reads in the NIV, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him what? Good and not what? Harm. All the days of her life. If they are married for 20 years, she brings him good and not harm. If they are married for 50 years, it's the same thing. She is a virtuous woman, a virtuous mother. And this shows the strength of her commitment to her family, particularly to her husband. We can recall Job's wife, and I'm not criticizing her, because she was treating the first man with symptoms of AIDS. Read the text. And he was smelling. She was the only caregiver. She was his nurse. And when she couldn't take it anymore, she said to him, why don't you curse God and die? She was thinking of what we call nowadays euthanasia. I don't want to poison you. That's what I feel. I don't want to commit suicide because I'm not sure where you'll go. So curse God. Maybe he will kill you. Not that she wanted to do him harm. Heard about a modern mother, talking about the ancient Job's wife, whose husband was gravely ill. And the doctor, it was very serious, the doctor called in the mother, the wife, and said, listen, your husband, he just has about a year to live. And I want you to take the best care of him. I want you to give him T-bone steak every day for lunch. I want you to give him conjugal rights every other day. I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to bake potato pudding every week and give him. And please go outside and share with him what I just told you. And when she went outside, the sickly husband said, what did doctor say? And the wife says, doctor said you're going dead. Unlike this woman who does her husband no harm, but only good all the rest of his life. This mother is virtuous. The second point I think the Holy Spirit makes from this chapter is that this mother is industrious. And you'll notice that most of the verses in this chapter are dedicated to her industry. The fact that she was a hard worker. And if the first point draws attention to the strength of her commitment to her family, this second point, that she's industrious, draws our attention to the fact of her strength being a commitment to society. To society. This mother is industrious. And at this juncture, before I develop this point, I'd like to invite a mother amongst us. Before she became married, she was Miss Hunted, but when she got married, she's Mrs. Anyway, I'm going to invite her to read.
No, stay. It's okay. Okay. A man was sick and tired of going to work every day while his wife stayed at home. He wanted her to see what he went through. So he prayed, "Dear Lord, I go to work every day and put in 8 hours while my wife merely stays at home. I want her to know what I go through. So please allow her body to switch with mine for a day. Amen." God, in his infinite wisdom, granted the man's wish. The next morning, sure enough, the man awoke as a woman. He arose, cooked breakfast for his mate, awakened the kids, set out their school clothes, fed them breakfast, packed their lunches, drove them to school, came home and picked up the dry cleaning, took it to the cleaners, and stopped at the bank to make a deposit. Went grocery shopping, then drove home to put away the groceries, paid the bills, and balanced the checkbook. He cleaned the cat's litter box and bathed the dog. Then it was already 1 p.m. and he hurried to make the beds, do the laundry, vacuum, dust, and sweep and mop the kitchen floor. Ran to the school to pick up the kids and got into an argument with them on their way home. Set out milk and cookies and got the kids organized to do their homework. Then set up the ironing board and watched TV while he did the ironing. At 4:30, he began peeling potatoes and washing vegetables for salad, breaded the pork chops, and snapped fresh beans for supper. After supper, he cleaned the kitchen, ran the dishwasher, folded the laundry, bathed the kids, and put them to bed. At 9 p.m., he was exhausted, and though his daily chores weren't finished, he went to bed where he was expected to make love, which he managed to get through without complaint. The next morning, he awoke and immediately knelt by the bed and said, "Lord, I didn't know what I was thinking. I was so wrong to envy my wife's being able to stay at home all day. Please, please, let us trade back. Amen." The Lord, in his infinite wisdom, replied, "My son, I feel you have learned your lesson, and I will be happy to change things back to the way they were. You'll just have to wait 9 months, though. You got pregnant last night." This has been voted woman's favorite email of the year.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Hunter. Let's review that first point. This mother is virtuous, and that email makes the other point, this mother is industrious. And I've learned from it, no longer am I envying my wife for anything she has. Let's go back to the text, verse 13. This mother is virtuous, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. Let's go back to verse 13. Verse 13 tells us that she works from home. She works in the home and from home. But notice what verse 14 says. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She also works outside the home. Now this is very important. Because for a number of years, particularly in this country, many husbands thought that the woman's place was in the home. But if you go back to scripture, especially this verse, she's inside the home working and she's outside the home. So there's no scriptural warrant for those husbands who will say to their wives, "No, you can't work." Because the Bible says, the Bible did not say that. She works inside the home, verse 13, and she works outside the home. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. What is this telling us about her? She's in real estate. But not in subprime real estate, but super prime variety. She's in real estate. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's an horticulturist just like Eve. She's planting, providing for the family as well. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. This is telling us that she finds time to go to the gym. Or she exercises, the ancient equivalent. She finds time to do some exercise. She's strong. Now, in the ancient world in particular, it's a very important point, because if we had time, well, let me just remind you of what Genesis 24 says. Genesis 24 is the longest chapter in the book. It's about how, as I mentioned last week, how Isaac got a wife. And when the servant was sent out, there are some very beautiful principles as to how we can choose a life partner from that chapter. When the servant was sent out, do you know where he went? He went to the well. Because the Word of God says, the well was where women went to draw water. In those days, only women went to draw water at the well. So he went to the right place. But having gone there, done his part, he prayed. He said, Lord, now I'm at this well, and let the woman to whom I will say, give me a drink. And she will say, drink, my Lord. Let that one be the wife for my master Isaac. Now, we could dramatize this. Just imagine the first woman comes along and he says, may I have a drink of water? And she says, I've not even seen it from Adam. You men are so insensitive, so lazy. It's our lot as women to draw water. Are you asking me for? No way I'm giving you water. And he said, not that one, Lord. Another one comes along and he says to her, may I have a drink? I said, sure. She gives him a drink, but that's not the one. Because the one that is going to get the job, so to speak, is the one who will say, drink, my Lord, and I will give your camels also. Then comes along Rebecca. And the Holy Spirit describes her as a virgin. He didn't ask for that. There's nothing wrong in marrying a virgin. And she was very beautiful. He didn't ask for that. And there's nothing wrong in being beautiful. But he did not ask for virginity. He did not ask for those things. He asked for one who was industrious, for industry. So Rebecca comes along and he said, may I have a drink of water? And she says, drink, my Lord. She's also courteous. Lord in those days means drink, sir. And she said, I will give your camels also. Next question. How many camels did he have? 10. And how much water does one camel drink? 10 gallons. She must have been somebody special. Do you see the point? She must have been somebody special. Because if I were she, I wouldn't do it. But she was a woman of industry. Just like this woman we find in Proverbs chapter 31. A mother who is virtuous. A woman who is industrious. Verse 18. She sees that her trading is profitable. That means she's in forex trading. She takes investment seriously. I'm not making it up. Don't read the text again in case you think I'm making it up. She sees that her trading is what? Profitable. She's not just working, she's investing. There's a difference. Amen. She's investing. Hallelujah. And her lamp does not go out at night. Now, here's where we have a problem with her. Because I'm in the bed saying, darling, please come to bed. Please come to bed. Says, why, Delano? Because I want to get some good rest, you know. What else were you thinking? Her lamp does not go out at night. She's a serious investor. Verse 19. In her hand, she holds a distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She owns the equivalent of the modern sewing machine. And we get that same point in verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. So this woman is working very hard at home. Verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She is a generous woman. She's not just working for her family, she's also working for society, making a contribution to society. Some of us know the story of how the Lord Jesus spoke to a mother, a woman, one night, and he said to her, "Tomorrow I'm coming to your house to visit." So she woke up extra early that morning, cleaned the house, prepared special meals for this very special guest. And about 8 o'clock, she heard a knock. And she thought it was the Lord Jesus. And when she went outside, it was an old man. He wanted a cup of tea. She said, "No, I can't help you, because I'm expecting a special guest today." A couple of hours afterwards, she heard a knock. This time it was an old woman. And said, she sent him, "No, I can't help you." Then a child came, and somebody else came. And the woman waited all day, and there was no Lord Jesus. In the night she prayed, said, "Lord, I thought you said you were coming to my house today." And he said, "I came to your house 4 times, and you turned me away. 4 times, and you turned me away." I believe that not just mothers here, not just women here, but all of us should be like this woman. She opens her arms, what? To the poor. And extends her hands to the needy. Right through the Old Testament, God has special feelings for the poor, the orphans, the widows, the marginalized in our society. And when God blesses us with any kind of means, it's not just to make us enjoy life, but to help others. This mother, she's industrious, but she's not just industrious for her own sake, but to help others. Verse 21, "When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them," what? "Are well clothed in scarlet." She thinks ahead. She plans ahead. She prepares well for her family. This mother is not just virtuous, she is also industrious. Verse 22, "She makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple." You know, very many people in Jamaica, where I'm from, don't like purple. They say it's, you know, it's a color that you wear to funerals and the like. But if you study scripture, scripture has a different view of purple. It has nothing to do with those who went to Kingston College in Kingston. Paul, no amen here. In scripture, when the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt, and while they were in the wilderness, God asked them to build a tabernacle, a very special place of worship. And the veil of the temple, or the tabernacle, also later on in the temple, had 3 special colors. There was blue on one side, and red on one, the other side, and in the middle, purple. If you know anything about art, when you mix red and blue, you get purple. And by the way, these 3 colors point to the Lord Jesus Christ. The red points to his humanity. The blue points to his divinity. You know, look up, you see, up in the heavens. And the purple points to his royalty. The only person who can reign and rule this earth in total perfect righteousness is one who is red and blue together. Perfect royalty. God and man. You see, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. It doesn't matter who is the head of this country. Whether Hillary or Obama or the Republican. McCain. Thank you very much. Thank you. And as I said last week, don't laugh at them. Because the Bible says God loved the Republicans and sinners. Right, yeah. Yeah. You know, last year, I'm a Christian, but one of the things I like about the Rastas in Jamaica, they are quite creative, particularly in music, Bob Marley. And last year, a Rastaman put out a song that was one of the best songs I've heard for a long time. And it's about womanhood. And, you know, I sing it for my wife sometimes. Let me just try to sing a part for you, because it has something with purple about the royalty. A woman says, "The way she moved to her own beat, She has the quality of a queen, and you be on queen. And so on and so forth. She's royal, yes, so royal, and I have her in my life. She's in Jamaica. But let's move on. Verse 23. A husband is respected where? At the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Now, oftentimes in the Old Testament in particular, whenever we hear that men are at the gate, it's like they are senators. In Jamaica, we say they are in parliament. This was where all the political and even legislative decisions were made, at the gate. So this man was a politician, and everybody knew that he had a good wife. Everybody knew that he had a very good wife. In words, this man was a super delegate because of his wife. Because of his wife. Verse 24. Rhetoric. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. Verse 25 to 31 give us our final point. Not only is his mother virtuous and industrious, this mother is precious. And I could have used a word I heard the Apostle Paul using earlier in the first service. This mother is pious. She is a godly woman. Verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at what? The days to come. The fact that she is precious or pious shows the strength of her character in respect to inner beauty. She takes inner beauty very seriously. She also takes outer beauty seriously. Because we see that from verse 22. Because she's clothed in fine linen and purple. So she takes outer beauty seriously. But she takes inner beauty more seriously. She takes inner beauty more seriously. She speaks with wisdom, verse 26. And faithful instruction is on her tongue. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from inside. Where do wise words come from? Come from inside. Verse 27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children, verse 28, arise and call her blessed. Her husband also. And what? He praises her. Many women do noble things, but this woman surpasses them all. Verse 30. Charm is deceptive. And beauty is what? Fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. There's nothing wrong with outer beauty. Although, as the text says, outer beauty can be deceptive. It can be deceptive. Heard about a Jamaican man who came to this country and saw the most beautiful black American woman he has ever seen. Got married to her. On a moon night, she took off her false hair and put it in the bottom drawer. Took off her false hip and put it in the bottom drawer. Her false arm and put it in the bottom drawer. False breast and put it in the bottom drawer. And so on and so forth. The Jamaican guy was in the bed. Sorry, she went to the bed and said to the Jamaican guy, "Come, you're not coming to bed, darling." Guy scratched it and said, "Well, I wonder if she'll go in the bottom jaw or in the bed." Charm can be deceptive. And beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be what? She shall be praised. I want you to notice, you know, she shall be praised by God and other people. By God. In other words, God who gives outer beauty as well as inner beauty. He has nothing against outer beauty. But there, he puts a high premium on inner beauty. High premium on inner beauty. Last story. Soon done. Some of us know this story about this one who met in an accident. Nearly fatal accident. 5 hours of operation. And before she went into unconsciousness, she prayed and said, "If you spare my life, Lord, I will serve you." Lord answered her prayers. Operation was successful, and she felt good right after operation. And right after operation, you know where she went? She went to another hospital to get a total makeover. Total makeover. And when she emerged from that next hospital, she was hit down by a car. Went to heaven, and she was complained to St. Peter, said, Peter, I'm sure you are the wrong person, because the Lord promised me that, you know, I promised the Lord that if he would spare my life from the operation, I would serve him. So how come the car hit me down? And Peter says, oops, I just never recognize you. Well, I want to close by saying, God recognizes true inner beauty, because charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who is pious, precious when it comes down to godliness, this woman will be praised. I want to suggest to you that there's one woman like this in the New Testament. A woman, a mother, who is not only virtuous, industrious, but pious, precious, just like this woman in Proverbs chapter 31. She brought our Savior into the world. And she's so precious in the sight of God, she was prophesied about in Genesis 3 and verse 15. It reads, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. In Galatians 4 verse 4, we also read about her, when we are told that when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son under the law, born of a woman, to redeem those who are under the law. Through this very special woman in the history of the world, who was virtuous, who was industrious, who was pious, very precious in God's sight, a Savior was born to redeem, to deliver, to free. And when he grew up, he uttered these very important words. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. On this Mother's Day, I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I really free? Have I been delivered, freed by the Son of God? In Colossians 2, verse 15, we read that this Son of God, this Son of the woman, because no father played any part in his coming into the world, this Son of the woman prophesied about in Genesis 3, verse 15, defeated the forces of evil so that we might live to the glory of God and live in community. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And while we close our eyes and bow our heads, I'd like to remind you of the question that you should ask yourself, that I need to ask myself, am I truly free? The Son promises, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If you'd like me to remember you in a closing word of prayer, I'm going to ask right where you are, just raise your hand, saying, I'd like to know some more about this freedom that the Son of God, the Son of Mary offers. Just raise your hand right where you are. I would like to know something more about this freedom. Just raise your hand. Father, thank you very much for this profile of a virtuous woman, a virtuous mother that you have preserved for us. All of us, brothers and sisters alike, are praying that you may help us to become more and more like her in virtue, in industry, in piety. Help us to seek after godliness, to work on being beautiful on the inside by your grace. And thank you, Lord, for this privilege of celebrating motherhood. Again, we present them to you. Bless them with a double portion of your blessing. And again, we pray for those who are in our midst who don't know your personal Father, that you may speak to them and help them to come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. Thanks, Lord, for guiding us and leading us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In closing, what Brother Delana talked about, I just kind of want to elaborate on it a little bit more. You see, all of this is just a bunch of words and stuff on the screen and nice stories and all this other stuff. It really means nothing. First, to the mothers, you can't be anything like this woman without first coming to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Life is already tough to begin with, but you need the Lord Jesus Christ in order to really live out everything that you can be. And for the men and children in our midst, the same goes for you. This life, this thing called life, is so much tougher without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This Mother's Day, I implore you and I beg of you to not leave this place without really getting to know Jesus Christ in a real way. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you feel very distant from Him, you haven't been living the life that you feel and that you know you should be living, the invitation goes out to you too. And as we sing the song in closing, I pray that this will be your prayer. And as we sing the song, I'm going to ask you to, if you feel the Lord speaking to you right when we're singing this song, just say a prayer to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus Christ, please let this song be my song, my prayer to you, that you'll just draw me close to you. And if you'd like to speak with any one of us afterwards, we'd be more than happy to speak with you, tell you a little bit more about what it means to really be close to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's rise as we sing this song.